Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 97, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, drumroll please, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. We're not taking it off.
Welcome to hell.
It's Monday, August 26, 2019. Happy birthday to my sister, Shannon. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the Jacobite Rebellion might have failed a long time ago, but the Jack O'Brien Revolution is only just beginning. That's courtesy of at 3:45 a.m. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
In your earbuds, I am Miles Gray. Fuck the Coke Bros, we scream that shit every day. In your earbuds with Jack and Miles Gray, Gray. Super production by Dan and Hosier.
Wow. Woo. Okay, you know, I asked for Missy Elliott, AKAs, and of course,
batting first. At Crispy Meme Donut, Christy Yamaguchi, man.
I like that his position is Crispy Meme Donut.
Well, yeah, that's a good way to say, you know, use at a handle. You know, look, I'm an improviser.
Starting forward.
That's a great handle to have at starting forward.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious writer and comedian and podcast host, Dana Schwartz.
Oh, you're not going to make me sing, right?
Well, you are. Go. Go. What's the song?
And go.
3, 4.
This is great. This is great. Thank you for having me.
Hey,
whenever people
here
point out that they don't have something to sing, I always ask, what's your favorite karaoke?
You know, recently I've been doing a Mr. Brightside kick.
Oh, okay. Like really everyone in the UK ever?
Is that a...
I feel like most times I hear people like spontaneously break out into Mr. Brightside, it's been in the UK.
This is just a humble brag to point out how well traveled you are.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, yeah. I mean,
Miles constantly is talking about his
travels.
Not
only have I heard it in the UK, actually, About a few months ago, actually, no, less than a month, maybe over a month and a half ago, I was in Florence, Italy, and I heard a bone-tingling rendition of Mr. Brightside.
Florence, Italy?
Yeah.
Really?
Quite amazing. Yeah. Huh. It was, I think it was a bunch of guys from Glasgow on a stag do.
Yeah. Miles is the type of guy who doesn't even refer to it as Europe. He calls it the continent. Yes.
Well, when you have respect for something, you know, you don't want
to. Dana, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're talking about today. We are going to bid adieu to one of the Koch brothers. We are going to talk about the G7. We're going to talk about China announcing they're coming back. They're tatting Trump's tit. We're going to talk about an interesting Fox News segment on recidivism and people getting out of prison. We're just going to send good vibes to RBG, just will her to keep living. We're going to talk about ASAP Rocky playing Trump. We're going to talk about a super volcano that might be coming to kill us all.
Love it.
All of that and more. But first, Dana, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, recently, and this is because I also do, this isn't me trying to plug another podcast I do, also record here called Noble Blood.
No, plug it. Yes.
But recently.
It's not you trying to do that. It's just
me
you doing it.
Fully doing it.
That's a Glade plug-in.
My search history for the past 24 hours has been famous poisonings in history.
Oh, yeah.
For research purposes, yeah. But also for research purposes.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Interesting.
What's been any good ones?
I don't want to. The best one I'm going to do it as an episode, and I record so many. This is going to be an episode in like January probably, but I don't want to spoil it. But I do love lady poisoners.
Oh yeah.
So historically, it's sort of the cliche is that men when they murder they do it with like guns and knives, and women when they murder do it with poison.
Mm.
You know, which is a stereotype, but also historically not a totally wrong one.
Right.
Right.
But also historically, everyone murdered with poison just all the time because everything was poison and they didn't have good doctors. So
right,
you could poison someone and they'd be like, well, I guess he just.
Oh, that's crazy.
Looks yeah. like
I
he
put
died
his favorite spices
of
on. Don't know what happened there.
It looks like he died of just his face turning purple and exploding.
Yeah,
right.
So it's been fun, and that is very much in brand for me. I think my Google search history is looking up
famous poisonings.
Famous poisonings.
Are there any deaths that might have been poisonings that?
Oh, people love doing that.
Right.
People, their favorite thing is in going back historically and being like,
that's
"This person died,"
right.
But it was could have because. Doctors were so bad, they would just write
right.
things that if you want to make a case for any historical figure dying, you
yeah.
could make it that they were secretly poisoned. Mozart, because
right.
started that rumor himself because he
Did
thought
he?
It was romantic. Yeah. So I don't want to now get too much in the weeds, but in the movie Amadeus, they sort of imply that Salieri poisoned him. He probably wasn't poisoned.
Right.
But when he was dying, he just was such a weird romantic that he's just sort of floated the idea of like, I'm getting sick. What if I was poisoned?
Right. That's pretty cool.
Which is a power move.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good way to be like, maybe you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you're maybe only I'm... drinking alcohol
no,
and
no.
not eating food.
What if I was being poisoned, though? You're poisoning
by
yourself
somebody
with
besides
this wine.
Myself.
Yeah. With Merlot?
I have a conspiracy theory that Tupac was poisoned.
Interesting.
Right before he was.
And then he grew
right
bullets.
Before he yeah. was shot. That was a coincidence.
Yeah. And it made, JFK also.
It made yeah. bullets grow in his chest.
What is something you think is overrated?
I fully feel this way, and I think it's just because of James Bond PR. Martinis are terrible.
Okay.
Oh.
They're horrible. They're like adult shots. No one. Why would you just want? It's just vodka. It's horrible. It's yeah. so bad. Mm. Who is their PR person where taking shots is now in a fancy triangle
yeah.
glass and it's sophisticated now? No.
I bullshit. Love a martini.
No, yeah. that just means you like vodka.
yeah.
No, well, see, I'd like salt. That's why I drink martinis because I get them so
dirty.
It's basically just salt.
Well, my theory, I love olive juice. I like picklebacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See?
And I think that a really dirty martini should be a different drink.
Thank you. Okay.
We should
see,
have a
now
name
back.
For a drink that's vodka, and olive juice.
I would never drink a regular gin martini or a regular vodka martini. Whenever I order, I'm like, it has to be just dumpster water.
Yeah.
Like, or they call it Mississippi mud.
I think
mud.
I've heard
they
you
call
say
it
that.
Filth.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
you're like,
filthy.
Just fucking filthy.
Just fuck me up with that.
Spit in it. Just make it.
Actually, bring all the olive brine and allow me to just have a fucking little, just a whisper of vodka on it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Are you a pickleback fan?
Love pickleback.
Love a pickleback.
Pickle
what
brine.
Is a pickleback?
It's a shot of whiskey, shot of pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
Gross.
See, no, he's wrong. We're right.
I've tried it with all kinds. If you ever eat batompt half sour pickles, typically can only get it at like markets where they have like a proper Jewish section. That brine for that one is so garlicky. Also an amazing accompaniment for pickleback.
It also it makes the hangover worse because it's like electrolytes, the saltiness.
Yeah, just taking everything away from you. Right. Well, what are you going to do?
What is something you think is underrated?
Picklebacks.
Picklebacks. There you
Boom.
Go.
We're back.
And done.
Did you ever drink pickle juice as a kid?
No.
See, I remember being a kid and like eating, just finishing a jar of pickles and still wanting the flavor. And then I'd be like.
Do you know what I did as a kid and also as an adult? That's my weirdest food habit that I feel like every guy I've ever dated, if we get to a point where they see me do this, that's when the relationship.
Fall apart.
Well, that's when it make or breaks.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. That's the fork in the road.
Yeah. I eat hot chocolate mix, but just the powder.
Oh, hell yeah.
With like a spoon.
Yo, I 100% feel you. I used to eat Nesquik powder.
Yeah,
with a
it's
spoon
the same
like
thing.
That.
It's like the texture is like powdery and salt and sweet, but not too sweet.
And then it turns to a paste.
Yeah.
That's so thick in your mouth. Well,
that's it, exactly.
I mean, we should really go to Florence,
but I feel
Italy
like,
all the time.
I feel
they
like
have
I've
the
had
best.
I feel
hot
like
chocolate
I've reached the point of like if I have a boyfriend, then I like rip open a pack and I'm just like pouring powder down my throat. Where they're like, "Who are you? I'm seeing the real you finally."
How? It seems like it's just chocolate fondant. Kind of.
Yeah. But not as sweet and like it's a more mature fun dip.
Uh-huh. Yes.
A more mature fun
dip. It's an adult fun dip. Right.
How often are you eating dry hot chocolate powder?
You know, not I go through phases.
Okay.
If I have it in the house, I'm gonna eat it.
So it's not you're like, my secret? Every night. I end my night with a nice packet of Swiss Miss dry.
If I could, I would, but the thing is it will turn me I'm one of those people that I can't have just one, where if I buy it for myself, I'm going to eat the whole box that night.
Hell yeah.
So I don't do it that often.
You know, we have a lot of Swiss Miss packets in the studio here.
Don't tempt me that
next
way.
next time you're in to record, I'm just going to fucking tape them to the desk in here and be like, do you.
Yeah, no, that's dangerous. Also, then my podcast will have my mouth be all like,
dry.
Yeah.
Also not good for hangovers, I'd imagine, is just dry. Just take the water out of hot chocolate.
like your hangover. Right. Just hand me a Swiss Miss back in.
What is a myth? Oh, it's something people think is true, you know, to be false.
I was going to do like a dry historical one. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Going off. Please.
For people who have not listened to the podcast that I'm pitching called Noble Blood. The biggest myth is obviously that Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake, which is just like the best propaganda line in history that we're still saying it now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
No, that was just, I mean, totally in like a propaganda newspaper.
Right.
Which is, it's kind of crazy to have a thing that like, you know, people just sort of assume. And even if they know it's kind of not true, it's still associated with her.
Right.
Even though it was completely made up. Which makes me sad about the state of the world and the way propaganda works and the way people talk about their political rivals. I mean, not to make it too common, but like the way Trump does his like dumb nicknames for people and they stick.
Right.
And even though we repeat them like ironically, it's like, well, maybe in 200 years they won't know that we were saying them ironically.
Right.
It's like that's the way, you know, it's a very dull knife that, you know, history. And so that is, you know, the most quote unquote like basic example I have of history, but I think if you dig a little deeper, it's kind of chilling that we still associate her with that thing that was written in a newspaper totally unrelated to her life.
Yeah.
I hope Moscow Mitch sticks.
Yeah.
History books. Let those ones. But that's just something about history where the humor just doesn't translate.
Yeah.
Because no one will ever, like sometimes you don't get context, but I'm sure when people inevitably write this chapter in history, it's like, this president was known for being a fucking idiot on Twitter who would just give people random names. I don't know if they'd be like, and then there was Pencil Neck Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Wait, well, that wasn't his real name?
And Pencil when he Neck became Adam president.
But I think that's true of, I believe, Caligula is a lot of like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, he fisted horses and stuff. When you think about it, it's like, maybe not. Maybe that's like a crazy rumor that his rivals made up, and that's what people.
There were a lot.
Catherine the Great, obviously.
Right.
That's like one of those things. It's like, how do we still know it? Because it's so lurid. But like, you think about that for 1 second, and you're like, obviously that's not true.
Right. And Napoleon being short. Also.
Oh yeah. He was totally normal height.
Yeah, he was normal for the time.
He was like 5'6".
Yeah, 5'6".
Well, that's
seven.
The problem with Caligula. There's so many like good juicy stories, and then you're like, these are all fucking just made up by his enemies.
Right.
Did you know, weirdly, the way that like the Popeye spinach thing was because of a printing error?
Yeah.
That like they thought that spinach had way more iron in it than it actually does.
Yeah. It has a normal plant amount of iron, which is not that much, but they put the decimal point in the wrong spot.
But don't they still say, like, if you need iron, spinach is a great source?
They say
source.
That incorrectly.
I mean, leafy greens are good.
Comparatively, right. Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, but it's like, if you want iron, you should eat red meat. Or less red meat, because the Amazon is burning. Yeah. So no, leafy greens.
Yes.
Eat a ton of
raw
leafy greens.
Raw red meat.
Just eat a bunch of Iron Man action figures.
Mm-hmm.
Get your iron.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about David Koch. In memoriam.
Oh, man. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
So, first of all, the reason we say fuck Coke Industries up top, in addition to them being terrible, is because they advertised once on our podcast.
And we just wanted to set the record straight. We are not aligned with the fucking
Coke. Wait, what? What advertised?
They, like, had remnant ads. So it wasn't like we were like, reading a Koch Brothers ad, but like an ad made its way
like
onto
as a pre-roll.
No, but like for what company?
Koch Industries.
That's crazy.
Isn't that
very
wild?
Crazy.
That's weird.
Like, yeah, they're just like, yeah, hey, Koch Industries. I think maybe
a fine American industry.
Yeah.
You know, pillars of democracy. I mean, I think obviously, when not just that, but when you look at sort of what their fucking, you know, the Coke-tipus, as they call it, had its arms and fucking everything.
Do they call it that?
Yeah. That's a thing you hear a lot.
What? The fact that they say that is so peak, like, are we the baddies? Like, when
you're
like, we're the Coke-tipus.
No, well, they don't say that, but I mean, that's whatever. Yeah, because you imagine, like, nah, that's actually sick branding, man. But people are going to say Coctopus, I'm afraid, and then that would be bad.
Right.
Branding.
If you're trying not to have people mispronounce your name Coke as cock, you
shouldn't
then
be from an octopus.
An octopus.
Right. We'll call it the Coctopus. Why not?
Yeah.
But, you know, they have their hands in fucking everything from, you know, basically trying to just rip apart the little bit of democracy we have in this country, from busting unions to climate change. I mean, let's just go over. I just want to remind people very briefly. There's plenty of articles you can read. We'll put in the footnotes if you want to tell people why we say this.
Behind the Bastards on the Koch Brothers is interesting.
Oh, gosh. Everything.
Their fortune comes from their father, who made the money by opening oil fields for Hitler.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
That's their origin story.
That's their origin.
And people,
And then their origin is that their father had them raised by a nanny who was
a proud
Nazi.
Oh, my God.
It's like a fucking.
This is too on the nose.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
If you had this, people would be like, back to workshop.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, they were
much,
named
guys.
One of the top 10 air polluters in the United States, just Koch Industries in general. Like, they outspent ExxonMobil in funding climate change denial think tanks and scientists.
Right.
Outspent the fucking gas producer on fucking trying to obscure the argument on climate change. Look where the fuck we are. Again, then you get into Americans for Prosperity. They have so many fucking dark groups. They fund, you know, so many conservative dark money groups. Americans for Prosperity love to fuck over unions, like, you know, and getting a lot of the anti-union bills that were passed in like Wisconsin or Ohio or Michigan. And really, like, even trying to trigger a constitutional convention to sort of their whole end game was like, what if we had like capitalism with fucking no rules at all? And corporations and business is the number one god. I mean, we're already kind of there, but like fully, like their dream world was just like a world without government.
Right.
Only money.
The worst part about them too, well, one, the fact that our world has supervillains that are that ugly and uncreative.
Right.
And like not even like interesting or suave. But they were playing politically, Republicans play dirty and the long game, where like they were doing the gerrymandering and the voter the suppression, the things that have them win the Senate, and they've been having like judges. They do the dirty behind the scenes thing that people don't focus on that then has the results. So you're just like, oh, their groundwork is so good.
Right. And so for people who are like, oh, well, what's wrong with the Kochs? I'm like, they have fundamentally changed politics in this country just like with their outsized influence. I think a lot of people don't realize that.
If you believe in climate change, then they have been killing our descendants for the past like four decades.
Right. And I'm not celebrating someone's death. Oh, no. God, no. Yeah. But I do hope your all-you-can-eat shit buffet in hell doesn't go cold.
Well, here's the thing. I saw some well-meaning liberals who I'm not going to name names being like, if you're against the death penalty, you and you're celebrating this man's death, like take a look in the mirror or whatever.
Right.
But the fundamental difference there is, one, the death penalty is the government, which is notoriously racist and bad at making policies, having control over a man's life or a woman's life, which I'm like, I'm against that. And the other is a terrible person
who died of natural
died of natural causes being old and being able to say, it is a good thing that this person is not doing bad things in the world anymore.
Exactly.
Right.
I wouldn't murder him because I'm not a murderer, but I'm saying objectively he was doing bad things and I'm glad he's not doing those things anymore.
You can say that. Could you say that if you took the Koch brothers out of the equation, would this country look a little bit different? I mean, I'm sure there would be some other group of well-funded, you know, capitalists who would have interfered, but they really swung for the fences.
I mean, when you talk about the long game and like doing things behind the scenes that were pretty subtle, they've been like funding libertarian think tanks and right-wing think tanks like behind the scenes of universities for a long time. Like that book, Dark Money, is wild.
Yeah.
Just how, I mean, it is almost creative, like how creatively evil they are.
So, you know, enjoy your vacation, man.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, how to bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. So the G7, formerly the G8, happened this past weekend. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can I be super dumb and reveal who was the 8 that now we're down to 7?
Oh, my God.
Russia's out.
Russia. Yeah. Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Canada, when U.S., France, Germany,
Crimea,
Italy, UK.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Got it. So yeah. There's just a lot of acronyms. I want to be in this convo.
Yeah.
I get it now.
So it's Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, formerly Russia, UK, US.
Cool.
That's the 7, which is weird. It's almost like somewhat arbitrary because China's not in there, which is the second biggest economy in the world. India's not in there, which is bigger than at least Italy and will soon be bigger than the US. Like,
but Italy's bright side karaoke game.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
In a way, I feel like they should always be part of the conversation. But we won't go into that.
But I do feel like it's just like tradition, essentially, at this point. It's like a group of friends who just never stopped like going out to eat together is like what the G7 is, as opposed to like an official designation.
It's your high school friends who still, right. you don't really have a lot in common with them anymore, but you still have to keep it going.
Right, exactly.
Well, just like, yeah.
Brazil should probably be involved in any big conversations, not because I want Bolsonaro to have a seat at the table, but...
Yeah, people need to be able to have a sock party.
Yeah. You know, that's something that's actually coming up is Macron, who is president of the G7 this year. It's just like a rotating thing, which country gets to be president. He was saying that, you know, they're going to talk about the fact that the Amazon rainforest is burning down.
He's encouraging it. And it's also a form of genocide against indigenous people in the rainforest.
Yeah. And Bolsonaro's, you know, pissed.
Hey, he said, like, don't meddle.
Right.
Don't meddle in our situations. Like, I'm sorry, bro. This fucking the Amazon, in a way, we all need to fucking give a fuck about this.
Right. So that's going to be something they discuss. The fact that the economy is sort of teetering, might be headed for a recession. Germany, as I know, is in that range as
Italy
well
is
as
also
the U.S.
There.
Italy is in looking rough.
And the U.K., baby.
And then, whatever happens to be on Twitter while Donald Trump feels like he hasn't spoken in too long.
I'm sure he's just so glad China isn't there.
That, yeah.
Because he, you know, he likes to talk a lot of shit.
But he does not like to, like, fire people in person. He doesn't like to, you know.
He's a fucking coward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He does not want smoke ever.
So China made their own announcement. They announced they're going to be, you know, firing back at Trump. It's kind of clear why he thought trade wars were easy to win. He didn't think like the other country was allowed to retaliate in any way or something.
He also, I'm not sure, has an accurate read exactly on what tariffs are or what a trade war is. I'm just, the way he talks, I'm not confident that he would pass like an AP economics quiz.
Oh no, AP.
Serious? No. He wouldn't fucking, that just blew my mind to even think that Donald Trump would even be in an AP class at any point ever.
But like, if you asked him just to say like, what is a tariff? I don't think he could give you a straight answer. It was like, right. Did you watch that video of when someone asked him what his favorite Bible verse was? And he's like, oh, just all of them. I wouldn't pick a favorite. They're just all so good. They all are so meaningful. Like, uh-huh. And they're like, no, so just pick one, which one that you like. And he's like, you know, I like them all.
That's you love the great. Beatles? Yeah, I love the Beatles. So, hey, which album? You know, like, all of them.
Which is classic, like, book report on book reading. Right. Yeah. But that's how I feel like.
I like all the books of the Bible. By the way, that's not a good, that's not a the right take either. There's a lot of shitty books in the Bible, guys. Yeah.
But that's how I feel like he approaches economics, which is just like he can sort of bullshit his way through.
Yeah. You know, the supply, the demand.
Well, because also, you also love show, like, his worldview is America number one. Everyone's scared of America. So he thinks the reputation sort of precedes him and can do all this fucking tough guy shit. And people are going to be like, oh, right, America. But now they're like, dude, no, you're in charge. Fuck that. Watch this now.
Yeah.
Here's some, we will retaliate with our own tariffs. I don't know why you still keep, people still think we're paying the fucking tariffs. The fucking consumer is. And even, who was it?
China.
No. There was, like, one of those banks basically did an analysis essentially saying that the tariffs are going to cost American families an additional $1,000 a year in, like, increased costs, because that's who's fucking paying for these tariffs, not fucking China. And, but they're, you know, China knows how to fuck around, too, because they're like, yeah, let's turn up the heat on your tariffs in some of these swing states.
$75 billion in new tariffs, and it seems like they're targeted at states that Trump would need to win in order to win in 2020.
That's kind of a baller move.
Oh, yeah.
It's smart, you know, but then it's like, God, but it's, unfortunately, it's like at our own expense.
Yeah, so
like,
no.
Part of me is like, yeah, man, fuck yeah, do that shit. I'm like, wait, fuck.
And they're playing us so well that you're almost like, I got to respect it. And then you're like, oh, no, it's making things harder for us. Oh, yeah, I forgot that we're on Trump's side, which is the worst.
Yeah,
sadly, that's the uniform we're wearing.
That's
at the
shitty thing. It's like he makes these bad decisions and they make our life worse.
Yeah. And, you know, just sort of his whole overall attitude, I mean, even in the way he's tweeting about it, shows you just what he thinks his status is. You know what I mean? Like, he thinks just some of these tweets that he fired off are
I hereby order
yeah.
that the all U.S. companies leave China.
That's
quit
big,
China.
Big Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy energy.
I declare bankruptcy! It's exactly, and again, he's saying we must. Okay, so he goes on. our great American companies are hereby ordered to immediately looking for an alternative to China. An alternative to China.
They're hereby ordered to start looking.
Right. Yeah, to start looking in about two weeks.
Right.
His favorite duration of time, including bringing your companies home and making your products in the USA. I will be responding to China's tariffs this afternoon. This is a great opportunity for the United States. Also, I am ordering all carriers, including FedEx, Amazon, UPS, and the post office, to search for and refuse all deliveries of fentanyl from China.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He's really, I mean, he's starting to realize how little power maybe he actually has.
Who is, I hate to quote some political theorist that now I can't remember who, but someone smarter than me who I'm quoting, talks about that the president has the power to persuade, that they have the pulpit.
Right.
But, right.
I mean, but like that idea that, like, he fundamentally doesn't understand the power of the presidency and how to use it.
He thought he was going to be king when he became president. Like, he thought he would just get to say everything that happened and everybody would have to agree with him. And like, the dissent really seems to have taken him by surprise.
Well, he has such this transactional idea of like how power works too. It's like, I do this for them, then they fucking pledge their undying loyalty to me, and then I give my coalition of loyal fucking sycophants, and then we take over the world.
Can I just say, I'm very proud of Taylor Swift, who in a Guardian interview, I think today, said that she really disagrees with Trump, and she's like, he acts like an autocrat, and he thinks that dissent, that he conflates loving him with loving the country, and disagreeing with him is hating the country. And she's like, and that's not good. And I'm like, growth.
Okay.
Good for you.
Great. Hop in a time machine and say that in 2015.
But growth.
Yeah, of course. I think that's important because she really did go from like, to like slowly turning the knob up of like, this is where I am. Which I get it, you know. But I think
she
also,
she's a fan. She wants to make money. I'm like, I get it. And I'm proud of her saying this.
But I almost feel like, unlike Trump, I'm like, Taylor, you could fucking say anything, and I think everyone will be like, yeah, great, great, great.
I kind of hope that he tweets about her, because her fan army on Twitter, I've been at the receiving end of them.
Oh, God. So has Desus and Mero, and they're racist. So maybe they will be like, they. I get why they're so, I mean, look, it's like any, you know, rabid fan base. Just like when the Beehive went after the girlfriend of the owner of the Warriors.
Oh, my God, yes.
And like her manager to be like, Beyonce would not spread this kind of love. Remember that Hive.
Right.
But, you know.
No, I hope he tweets about Taylor Swift.
I think it's possible considering the amount of just completely like disconnected from reality tweets and like lines of thought he's been going down on Twitter. Even his that rant extended to basically then like blaming the Fed for what's happening with China. No mention of the fact that you started this dumb fucking trade war.
Yeah.
And you're mad that the people like punched you back a few times?
Didn't he say trade wars, I quote, are easy?
Very easy,
easy
to
win. To win.
Very easy to win.
Very easy, be very quick, very easy.
And
then also he doesn't realize he's going up against a leader who does not face elections.
Right, who is a autocrat.
Right.
Who can just say, this is what we're going to do, and it happens.
There is no hitting Xi Jinping in the swing states.
No.
To like, you know, get him off his footing.
But everything is so personal with him. He was like, we have a great relationship. He really like thought that he liked him. And it's just like, what the fuck, man? How is this how you view the world?
But we, you know, it's funny how like we sort of always have this cycle of like, what did he think was going to happen? But this is just always, this has been it from day one. And
I mean, one of the biggest things to get his mind around during his first year of presidency was that it was worth it for America to have a military base in South Korea because he thought it was too expensive.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, why can't we just stop that?
They're like, well, but you can see a nuclear weapon from North Korea within 5 seconds. And if we weren't there, it would be 15 minutes. And he's like, yeah, but it's too expensive.
So I think nothing sort of reveals his thinking about how to be a quote unquote good president than the Mars thing and the moon thing and the Greenland
thing.
I think he wants a W.
Early 20th century presidency.
He wants like a thing that is doesn't mean anything in the world,
right.
But that everyone in America can be like, that's a thing we did.
Right.
Because he thinks that that is good for him as a president.
Right.
I think he wants an easy win. Whether it's like a trade war, which he's learning is not an easy win. And so he's like, okay, I'll just like plant my dick flag on something.
Right. What if we agreed to put him on the penny?
Right. And then he would phase it right the fuck out.
Well, because they're already basically phased.
I know.
For all intents and purposes, like pennies just are fucking, no, there's no way he'd be
it's
able
the
to.
Same color as him.
It's the
same
color as him. Because he does.
I know, but like, there's so many.
Million dollar bill.
I was going to say, what if we make
and gave him one?
Gave him a bunch.
Right.
Here's $7 billion in million dollar bills of you.
And we were just like,
this is great.
There you go, man.
You're on the million dollar bill.
He's just looking at it every day. The election happens. He wasn't even campaigning. He's like, did you see this? I want a $1 million bill.
That's exactly the type of thing he wants.
They're like, you're also out of office.
Yeah, that New Yorker profile that somebody wrote of him 5 years before he was running for president. He has all these like knickknacks that he loves to show off. He's like, Mike Tyson signed that. Mike Tyson like gave that to me. He said we're very good friends. And yeah, so like his his face on a $1 million bill would be the sort of thing that like
he could show his salary.
Time Man of the Year like
right.
before he actually. Was designated that would be like he probably had the the mirror one.
Yeah, well, you know, King Trump, you know, thoughts and prayers to you as you go through this difficult time of slowly letting reality start trickling onto your face.
You know, I realized if he died of natural causes, there would be no way his fans wouldn't think he was poisoned.
Oh, yeah. No, there's
not the fact that he's like a 70-something man who eats McDonald's and has never walked in his life.
There's no easy way out of this presidency because he's not going to admit he lost an election. If he died, they would think that he was assassinated. There's no good way out. We're already
unless
fucked.
He's like, you know what? Fuck Earth. I'm going to the moon. And then he gets in a spaceship and is like, y'all are too poor. And they're like, damn, that's where we should go. And then they're like, okay, we believe that.
He's not going to gracefully hand over the White House.
No. It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be. I'm anxious thinking about election day now.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, like last week, we know one of our guests saying it's going to happen sooner or later. So we're going to have to deal with it either now or, God forbid, in another fucking 4 years or whatever. Oh, yeah. But like,
I'd say like 12 years.
I mean, look, I think I'm going to serve for about 14 years. So.
King for life.
I mean, he's old. He's so old.
Yeah.
And
I know.
He tans and has fake teeth and does everything he can to look less old, but he's so old.
Yeah.
Does he have dentures or just really good veneer implants?
I think he has veneers.
You look at his bottom teeth and they're not real.
Well, because they at times they're like, oh, maybe something's going on with his dentures.
Oh, right. When he started slurring and people were like, is he having like a stroke? Yeah, is that what's going on?
I think his
fingers crossed.
His teeth were falling out.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has, I mean, you just look at his teeth on camera and like they're not real.
Right.
So his worst nightmare would be to have his true pale skin, the wind blowing on his comb over, and his teeth not in.
Yeah.
Would probably be similar to death.
I mean, think about how he would look with white. He dyes his hair, obviously, because he's in his 70s and no man doesn't have white hair by that point. He would look so old with white hair.
Yeah. It was weird, though. Remember when he slicked his hair back and for a second he looked like a normal person? Yeah. That was the most frightening moment.
I don't remember that.
It was for a moment, and it became...
If I Google Trump hair slick back...
Yeah, you'll see.
After he golfs, he's like known to just roll through with a slick back. Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Doesn't he look
so
like
gross.
A normal person, though?
That's so weird looking.
Yeah.
I can't believe I missed this photo.
It was a very passing moment, because then something terrible and racist happened.
Right.
And then everyone's attention was like, what the fuck the photo?
Yeah.
He looks so weird.
Yeah.
It's like when a celebrity has a middle name that everyone calls them by, and then you get rid of the middle name, and it sounds weird.
Joseph Levitt.
Joseph Levitt.
Yeah.
This is the Joseph Levitt of Trump photos.
Jonathan Thomas.
Yeah, you're like, who's Taylor. That?
JTT, dude.
Yeah, who's Jonathan Thomas?
Yeah.
Right.
He works at Arby's. all of this, you know, more and more mounting evidence as to why this president needs to be completely, you know, replaced and, you know, impeached, maybe even that. How about that? How about we start taking action? Because, again, I don't know where this road is leading because he's clearly wanting to puff his chest up at China. They seemingly are also have a game plan. Do you think he's
going
to fucking?
I was surprised that they are going after him in that targeted fashion where they're trying to get him to lose the election. I mean, that's obviously just a theory, but you'd think that they would enjoy just like completely being like, 5 moves ahead of the American president.
Although, you know, devil's advocate, those coincident swing states are also manufacturer states.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's the reason they were swing states, and the reason he won is because of like people with factory jobs.
Well, and that's also why the agricultural stuff, too, was like right in farmland, which is heavy, you know, Trump country.
Just be an added perk for them that they get that little thing, but it also could be that they're hitting the states that have the biggest manufacturing.
Right, because they're like, oh, your weakness is that you have elections.
Yeah.
Right.
Watch this. We'll not only make you look like a fucking shitbag, you're going to lose it on Twitter, and then we're also going to go after you strategically in a way that actually be out of
office. Who is he going to blame the stock? Because he's been a big, like, the stock market's good because of me. Who's he going to blame the stock market going
down?
Did
you see the tweet on Friday? He did, like, a joke tweet.
I try to avoid his tweets.
Again, because the end of the world is going to be something that somebody's joking about. He did a tweet where the stock market went down by like, what was
573 points
on Friday. And he tweeted like, it's a shame that what's his name dropped out of like some.
He said perhaps he's like the Dow is down 573 points. Perhaps on the news that Representative Seth Moulton, whoever that may be, has dropped out of the 2020 presidential race.
that's the only good tweet he's ever done.
It's pretty funny, but at the same time,
it would be so much funnier if he wasn't the president.
Right. And it's taking the piss out of himself because it's like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to admit that this is all my fault. So I'm going to pretend like it's some complete nobody. Wait, who is Seth Moulton?
What?
Was he in the debates?
No. I don't think he made a debate stage.
Oh,
once.
Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Trump would have been so much funnier if he was just like a harmless racist screaming in the world and not the president.
Yeah. That's unfortunately.
Like, I wish we could just laugh at him, and it pains me so much that he has.
But that's like the
power.
Kind of the trouble of even like, you know, commenting on his presidency. Like, on one hand, like, there's so much to just be like, wow, what an idiot. But it's also to kind of deflect the true horror that we're witnessing of like, this is just disintegrating so much of like, you know, even like it was shitty before him and now it's getting shittier. And it's like, okay, well then let's laugh during the fire a little bit too. But also it, you know, that's why I always try and like underline too, that this is, you know, these are all existential threats to our long-term stability and our ability to have abundance and be productive going forward in life.
Well, speaking of existential threats, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had another...
Shut up, Jack, shut up!
Don't say it, don't make it real.
Malignant tumor treated in August or at the beginning of this month. I don't know. If we keep her medically alive, but she's like brain dead, but like there's still blood, like her heart is still beeping.
Uh-huh. Still a robot.
Does that count?
No.
Okay.
No, but... I would recommend to the people on the left, check out the movie Dave.
Yes, let's
with
Dave
Chris
her.
Klein, where the president
Chris
has
Calvin Klein. Kevin Klein.
Kevin Klein. With Christopher Columbus.
Miles, I think you mean Calvin
Chris Klein.
Klein.
Hey, have you seen his coked out audition for Mamma Mia?
What?
Who?
Chris Klein?
Klein?
No.
I like
Dude,
Chris.
He's like, yo, oh man, I'm loving it in here. He's way too desperate for a job.
Chris Klein from
American Pie.
And from Election.
Yeah.
He's good for Election.
I digress.
As the same character from American Pie.
Yeah, Bumblebee. Kevin Klein, where the president has a heart attack, and they have to bring out his lookalike to keep him going.
It's a really funny movie.
It's a great movie.
Awesome.
Charles
Sigourney
Grodin's
Weaver,
in it. Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver's the first lady who is fucking... Am I allowed to say fucking?
Yeah,
the
We said fuck Coke Industries.
I forgot.
That's how
it's been
we
a
open.
Long podcast. She like fucks Dave, kind of knowing that it's Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of
kinky
in the 90s.
But she knew,
because
she was like,
way.
You haven't looked at my legs in years. I remember there's a scene in the limousine, and she's like,
she gets
Dave.
Out of the shower.
Right.
Yeah. And my favorite bit where he's at a like an automotive plant using robotic arms, and he's like, I once caught a fish this big, and the arms go out to like 90 feet.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. It's
classic Dave stuff.
Classic Dave stuff.
Dave is really a parable about swinging as a married man.
Well, that's it, because Face Off is another movie where the wife fucks a dude who's posing as her husband, and nobody, like, she doesn't notice it, or she's like, that was amazing, or something like that. But it's like, well, wouldn't you know that that's not your husband, or maybe not?
You kind of want not to know.
Right, yeah.
You know, but you kind of...
Oh, that's right. He fucking died because he was having an affair, the original president.
Yeah. Right, he has,
he has a heart attack
while he's
right.
having an affair.
Yep.
And so they're like, we can't remove... This
dude, crazy.
Well, they don't
Franklin
want this, the story to come out,
right?
That he was have one that he had a heart attack, because I think they don't like the VP is the villain,
right?
And then they don't want the affair to come out.
Okay.
Mm. Until
I'm just
the
saying,
election.
Just tell the mistress to leave the room, and then be like, he's dead.
Well, I think that
they don't
want
like
him to be dead, and also they know it would come out. They'd be like, well, where did he die?
Right.
They said he was.
You mean like with Scalia? Oh, he was just at a hunting lodge.
He's still there. He's on vacation.
Right.
He's good.
Upstate. He's at a farm.
You know.
I think there's really bad cell service up there.
Right.
Right. That's what it is.
Huh. Anyways.
We'll look into it.
You were going to say something and I interrupted.
Was I? I don't think I was. Oh, I was saying I like the movie Dave, and I also like the movie Wag the Dog.
Oh.
Similar premise.
Yeah.
Of the black, who Trump would call the deep state manipulating the president. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave and Wag the Dog are both about the deep state.
Damn,
that's true.
Trump shit. Oh, man. Fox News, please just play those films. Give him some ideas.
Right.
He's like, I was just watching this amazing, riveting documentary, Dave, about one of our past presidents, President Harrison Mitchell.
Well, let's...
Is that his name in Dave?
Yeah.
What a good
William Harrison
name.
Mitchell. Three-namer.
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 But who's Bill Mitchell?
When you say, Bill Mitchell, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Well, speaking of Fox News, I just want to hear this one clip of their woke drug commentary.
Well, allow me to give you some, let's give some context first, because it's such a stupid fucking take, because the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, they're looking at language guidelines to stop using words like felon, offender, convict, addict, juvenile, delinquent, because they're like, you know what? People get this tag of felon or whatever. It becomes much more difficult to get employed and things like that. They don't want you to just walk around with the scarlet letter. So they're using words like, You could be called a formerly incarcerated person or justice involved. And they're sort
justice
of like,
involved.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I read like another like op-ed in a conservative news like fucking website. And they're like, oh, so we're going to call thieves enthusiastic shoppers. but that's not the point, because recidivism is a very huge problem in this sort of like, you know, endless cycle of prison systems. But I just want to point out, there was a study that was done that, you know, immediate employment is a huge factor in reducing recidivism.
Oh, of course.
And that, you know, before there weren't many studies into it because the prison industrial complex is so profitable, that about a 20% reduction in a return to crime for people who were able to find jobs immediately. And then like the numbers go even down sort of over time. So, you know, they're using studies like that to say, yes, we have an issue where people come out of prison. They have no options because of the way they're labeled by society and inevitably have to turn back to crime. And the cycle continues. Of course, the right doesn't like that because the private prison industry cuts them many checks for their candidates. So in comes this fucking lobbyist, think tank guy from like GOPAC or some shit. And he's like trying to spin this whole thing on how like this is just the beginning of the end. But also has a very, he's very experienced with drug use, clearly, right, from some of the things he says.
California has tried to clear out their prisons, and yet every year they continue to have overcrowded prisons. And the focus ought to be on a society that follows the law, not allowing people to defecate in the streets, not allowing individuals to lay on the street, having just shot up with marijuana and having having a needle sticking out of them. We ought to be focused on solving crime.
You know, just shot up with Marilyn Manson and
shot up with,
I mean, like,
marijuana.
Also that, like, obviously, yes, there is a problem with people defecating in the streets in this country. Well, but also there's a homelessness situation in these areas too. That I like that they always connect San Francisco to like, well, people poo in the streets because it's liberal.
Yeah,
like it's sort of like the weird argument that's always sort of tenuously connected.
I get so angry. I feel like I'm like, this is the thing that makes me so mad. The thing about homelessness or people like, if we make it hard enough and unpleasant
to be homeless,
then they'll just not be homeless anymore. It's not like like high schoolers like drunk driving or like, you know, like, I don't know, like high schoolers loitering, like a thing that they don't have to do. It's like, you're not addressing
the root situation
of homelessness, and making it harder and more unpleasant to be homeless is just making it harder and more unpleasant for homeless, and probably harder for them than to reintegrate.
Well, when you look at all the things that are so entrenched into why that happens, it's like, well, we can't give people proper, you know, medical care or mental health assistance because of the way the, you know, like, healthcare industry is completely fucked up. And then you can't even address like housing crises because the banking industry is so tied up in like exacerbating that issue. So it's like, yeah, let's just avoid the root causes and blame this other thing and just throw our attention to that. Same thing with immigration, where it's like, well, maybe if we treat these people like subhumans, these other people who have no other recourse except to flee their country, maybe just we'll stop doing it rather than like what's going on there.
And it's also like, I think I remember reading somewhere that there was an experiment maybe in like Utah where they just like gave homeless people places to live.
Yeah.
They're like, what if we just fixed homelessness by giving them homes? And it saved so much money in the long run, where even if you're so clinical and you're like, I guess, a libertarian Republican who doesn't think that, who doesn't care about like people's lives and is more just like, it's about the money, it is cheaper to give them homes than to keep paying for their emergency room visits. And like the way the system becomes clogged with homeless people, if that is your motivating factor and not like basic human decency, it still works in the favor of just helping them.
Because you want to basically make people who are needy look like evil people.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's just to paint them with this brush that like, oh, well, if you're poor, it's because you're lazy and you have no. And I think the idea is, well, you give them free stuff, they won't do anything. And all those studies show that people are literally just looking for the stability because most people do have pride in themselves that they do not want to be in that situation. And I'm sure even those people who are like, oh my God, I mean, like, they're just going to take free stuff. I bet even those person, God forbid, they found themselves in a situation where they were homeless, they would probably do what they could to get out of it rather than be like, actually, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just live in squalor and take these little checks and we're great.
You need an address to apply for a job. And then like people get arrested and then like their court dates, like, if they don't have a fixed address, they miss their court dates. These things keep adding up. Then they get arrested. Then they get incarcerated. And then they have a history. Like, it keeps compounding this. I'm so sorry. I'm going on a rant. But the system is so built against just actually making them. If your goal is to make them become like functional members of society, the way the system is designed now and the way they approach it of just like villainizing them is the exact opposite of how you would do
that. Oh, yeah. But then, like you say, that creates inmates for a prison industry. That creates more money and like emergency care that people can charge the government. It's just all, you know.
And a common enemy for like decent, hardworking Americans, not these freeloading slackers. It's like you could be like, I'm not a freeloading slacker. And then you feel self-righteous.
When most people in this country are hanging by a fucking thread.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And I was confused by the ASAP Rocky story about him, you know, getting arrested and then the president, Donald Trump, getting him out of prison and like how'd those two hook up.
Yeah. The story is very interesting.
So we're learning new details, right?
Yeah. I think like most people, we thought, oh, Kim Kardashian must be like back channeling all of this stuff to try and get ASAP out. But that is not the case at all. And this is actually, you know, ASAP Rocky in the past has not had some of the best political takes. I remember when he he literally said all lives matter and like, you know, said like, I don't know if I really understand.
Isn't there something about Cosby?
He defended Bill Cosby.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So look, he's not a necessarily ASAP. A political luminary, let's say.
Right.
But you know, the him being incarcerated became a huge thing of public interest. And what happened was there were two people, Daryl Scott, who's this Ohio pastor who is constantly caping for Trump. He's like the person who's like, actually, Donald Trump has been the most pro-black president of all time.
Uh-huh.
That's like, okay, sit your ass down. And another man by the name who like works with him, Kareem Lanier. They were the ones like who basically they were approached by this like celebrity fixer after A$AP Rocky got arrested. And they were saying like, hey, like, you know, the president, like this could be a good opportunity for him because, you know, he thinks if you do one good thing for one black person, all black people will instantly forget that you're racist. Mm-hmm. They're like, this could be a good opportunity for the president. So then they sort of sent that up the chain like, OK, yeah, maybe this could be a good look. Then A$AP Rocky's manager was approached and they said, OK, we've got something for you. How about the president tries to help you out to get your client A$AP Rocky out of prison? On the condition that when he's out, he publicly thanks Mr. Trump. And the quote that his manager gave was, quote, if a serial killer gets Rocky out of jail, I would have no problem saying thank you to the serial killer. But I guess they, you know, that's just good
when
talk.
When you're that hard up for like somebody to like you that they compare you to a serial killer
right.
And you're like, good enough.
That should have been their first indicator of
sounds like we're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
That should have been the first indicator of how A$AP Rocky's camp was looking at even Donald Trump.
Sounds like a yes.
Yeah. It's like, okay, great. So they work their magic. He gets out, but radio silence from A$AP Rocky. And immediately they were trying to reach out, the two men who were like the connective tissue to Trump. They said they immediately began reaching out to Rocky's team within hours of his release. They were expecting a thank you. Quote, we didn't get a call. We don't get a call at all. When they finally got his manager on the phone, one of the men said the rapper's manager, quote, started making all these excuses about Rocky needing time to travel and rest. And then he said, I hope you guys aren't going back on what you said you were going to do. Cue the fucking ironic music, because guess what, my man? There's no thank you. So you can kiss that one fucking goodbye.
That's amazing.
I hope he tweets mean things about A$AP Rocky now.
Yeah. He probably would be like, fuck
that. I'm grateful.
He's like, Ferg was actually probably the best one of that crew. And also, A$AP Yams Day is, we're fucking canceling it.
Right.
Fuck Yams. Oh, what if he said that? He's like, fuck Yams. I'm serious. Yeah. Fuck that dude. Then he would really get all the smoke.
He really would. All right, guys. Let's talk about a preview of things to come.
Great.
Super volcanoes. So,
is that the vaporizer?
It's probably a vaporizer.
Sick.
But once every 2.1 million years, a super volcano will go off. There are 10 of them or 11 of them around the globe, and or 20 scattered around the planet. And the last time one went off was 600,000 years ago. It is basically like there will be huge earthquakes and then the sky will just like go dark because of how much magma will come out of the earth.
Liquid hot magma.
Magma. And the nearest one is under Yellowstone. And
oh, great.
It's almost like saying near in this case doesn't make a difference at all because it doesn't matter as long as it's on the earth.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
it would cover most of the Midwest in ash, like in 3 feet of ash. This was in an op-ed in the New York Times. But so they're basically saying that this.
Oh, so it's an opinion.
Yeah, it's one of those scientists who just writes about his opinion.
Oh, so that's your opinion, sir.
Right. He talks about them as ultra catastrophes that would lead to global devastation and even human extinction, like a major asteroid impact, global nuclear war, or a super volcano, a super eruption of one of these super volcanoes. And he basically is making the point that the volcano is the one that's most likely to happen in our lifetime, but we are
our current lifetime, as in everyone listening
it's
right
more,
now.
It's more likely mathematically, statistically, than the asteroid impact. But the asteroid impact is the one that we've had a bunch of movies about, basically.
Yeah. Oh, well, new IP.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this something that it would happen and we'd all die instantly? Because that's the way
no.
I want to go.
Well, the people near there probably would.
Yeah, people real close by would. People who like lived in the surrounding states would. But we would just
Like, have a slow, painful death.
Yeah, have a slow.
See, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Because also, then the people who are like, have like survivalist things, then they get to be smug.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Ugh. People who've been storing gasoline for like years.
They're like, ha ha, honey. They're like, yeah, but what about your $50,000 in Beanie Babies, asshole? What about those? Okay, I took a L on those.
But you know what? Like people with canned food, it's like, I've been waiting for this. They get to feel really excited, and I don't want that. I don't want to live in that world.
And all you those Jim Baker people and her survival buckets?
Well, so this article, just something to look for. The reason I think this is a preview of things to come is because you remember the year when Armageddon and Deep Impact came out in the same year? The reason people think the reason both those scripts got written and like made around the same time was because of a news story that had happened on like one of the main news channels like 9 years before. So 9 years from now, I feel like there's going to be a year of super volcano movies because this is like a, it's a very vivid
article. We had Dante's Peak.
We had the success of Jon Snow Pompeii movie.
Right. Volcano movies have not done that well.
Because volcanoes are so boring. They're slow.
Dante's Peak was the same year as Volcano.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Joe, with Tom
Hanks.
Well,
that's a great movie.
But I think it's a great movie because the volcano doesn't happen.
Right. I still have a promotional bag from Joe versus the Volcano that my mom got in
the
80s.
Were you born?
Alive around that time. I think it was made by Orion Pictures because it still has the old Orion logo on the bag.
Nice.
And it's a reusable bag that to this day that my family uses.
Good for you. Yeah, they made a Pompeii movie that did very poorly, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, very recently. Yeah.
And there's so many good stories. Wasn't like one guy like masturbating when he
died? But that's not a good story because it's inevitable. Everyone dies.
Everyone
has to be like an art film or something where it's like you see that same moment for people all over the place.
Ooh,
because
it's like Sliding Doors or something.
Sliding Doors-esque. But I don't think you can make a blockbuster where everyone's like
masturbating,
running.
You know, Titanic. Titanic sinks. Everyone knows Titanic sinks.
That's true.
Did you see the article that people were like, oh, the Titanic's like falling apart on the sea floor? And they're like, motherfucker, that shit sank over 100 years ago
in
the fucking sea.
It looks like shit, you guys. I was like, I never thought it looked that good to begin with, first of all. Like,
it's deteriorating. What are we going to do?
They're like, y'all, I don't know if you've seen the Acropolis. It's a mess.
Right.
What are we going to do about it? What happened there, everyone? What happened?
Yeah.
Time? No.
Yeah, they're like, we last saw it 40 years ago, and it looked better than it does now. And it's like, well, yeah, being 40 years under the sea will do that to
someone. How did you look 40 years ago? Like,
It was 14 years ago.
Oh, 14,
okay. And the last time that anyone was down there was James Cameron.
Wait, what do you mean 14 years ago?
That somebody was down in like diving around the Titanic.
Oh,
remember, because he made the Titanic, but then he also like got really into like diving the Titanic.
I'm pretty sure he only made Titanic because he really wanted
to
go dive down.
But
then
part of it, didn't that obsession create new like submersible technology too?
Nailed it.
He does that a lot in films. Credit to James Cameron.
I went on a tour of his workshop once, which
why'd you use air quotes?
Because it's not really a workshop. It's like a airplane hangar where he keeps like
I use air quotes, it's a van.
No, they called it the workshop. It was like a press thing. James Cameron and like, you know, 10 reporters, and it's like just little things from all of his movies, and he just keeps like the thing from Aliens, like the I don't know what it's called,
the robo suit. Get away from her, you bitch.
And all the models of the Titanic, and he just seems like he just is a dude,
like a kid,
who happens to make movies
but
really loves this stuff,
toys,
making cool things.
He just loves I'm a collector who just got into filmmaking because I realized that was a good way to get access to stuff.
That's what it felt like.
Did you have like real, like, was it real? Did he have any stuff from the Titanic in there? Like from the... No, that would be...
Not
that, would
that
be
they
theft,
showed
maybe.
Us. Maybe in his personal home.
Yeah.
Probably.
He's like, this is the wheel.
Did you meet him?
Yeah.
Was he nice?
He was.
Jim? Good.
But
guy.
Here's the thing.
Jim Cam.
I thought he was nice, but he was nice because he's like an old man meeting a few reporters.
Right.
Like, I don't think I would want to be married to him.
No.
Why? What'd you get? What was the sense you got from
him? I have it, but just from stories. He's not... He's a controlling... But I think now that he's of an age and status where he gets to do whatever he wants.
Right.
Like, I think back in early in his career when he had to yell at people, he was not a pleasant person. But now he's James fucking Cameron. I bet now he's a pleasant person to be around because everyone says yes to him.
Sure.
One of the early like things he did in filmmaking, he was, I think, working on the set of a horror movie. and they wanted to have a shot with like a bunch of like worms and grubs in it. Uh-huh. And he was like, they're not wriggling enough. So he just electrocuted the whole thing of grubs and worms. So they would like start crawling over each other, and which is brilliant, but also really cruel. And I think a good kind of description of how he treats people in his movies. Right. He will just like when you look back at The Abyss, he's like talking about like how fun it was, and everyone's like,
I almost drowned nine times.
Yeah, people almost died
more.
On that movie.
They needed them to wriggle more. Yeah,
wriggle! Was it the thing, like, they were breathing water? Like, yeah. The technology was that, like, they would learn to breathe in fluid? Like
that was
they
the did premise the of the movie.
Right, but I'm saying, like, but even having that in your head, and like, so the actors are, like, in these suits that are, like, filling up. Like, wouldn't the helmets fill up with liquid?
Yeah.
I'm sure that would stress me
the fuck
out. I miss
the OA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Bring it back.
I know.
It was getting so good.
It was never getting good.
I mean, it got so wacky, though. I was like, well, hold on. Because before, I just thought this was some weird show. And now we're dealing with, like, some other dimension this dude saw in a dollhouse.
I'm so mad that they canceled it just because, like...
They canceled it?
Yeah.
DOA?
Yeah.
Is DOA?
Oh, damn.
No one made that joke yet. It's just like, no one else is making shows that weird.
Yeah, right.
More weird things in the world.
I mean, I think they should do a flash mob to bring it back.
With the dance
with
moves?
With the dances.
I'd never saw
the movements.
You've
you don't know the movements,
the climax
Jack?
Of the movie? The climax of...
It's because he knows the show creators and he's salty.
I'm not salty.
Oh, I can't wait for this to stop rolling. I'm so salty. There's so many shows.
I'm not
shows.
Salty at them.
Jack actually had the idea for... Jack, tell him about your OA idea you had before.
You had the idea for the OA before the OA?
They stole it from me.
Yeah, he was talking about all these NDEs he had, near-death experiences, at water parks.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hold on.
I will say there's guys I hooked up with, and now I can never watch anything even tangentially related to them because it makes me viscerally upset.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, who are these people you're dating?
I'm not going to say it on the...
Damn, okay. I mean, that was a flex.
Well, none of this
I was
is
like,
going in.
I live in Los Angeles. Yeah. Like, but like, there are people in the world.
I mean, the only thing that reminds me of X is like an empty TV box. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, I can't watch NBC.
She's like, I hooked up with a guy and now I can't watch any of LeBron's games.
Kind of soured it for me. Yeah, especially when he came to the Lakers. I'm like, of all the towns. Really, LeBron.
I came here first. I moved here.
You asshole.
Let's talk about the new socialist version of Monopoly.
Wait, wasn't that so interesting? Because originally Monopoly, wasn't it supposed to be
It was
socialist?
Supposed to be a socialist.
Sorry, I don't mean to be jumping the gun.
No, that's fine. That's a good point. It was originally meant to warn against Monopoly.
Right.
And also there were rules you could follow that were more socialist and would make it so that everybody wins. But now, in sort of a fever dream version of what the person had in mind, Hasbro has made a version of Monopoly that is basically designed to make fun of socialism.
It's a send-up.
Right.
Socialism.
It draws on old-fashioned Cold War era iconography, denigrates universal health care, veganism. It's just like
what?
Shits on the left
that's
in
so
general.
Weird.
And yeah, but it's not like something that like Ben Shapiro made with his friends. It's
fucking
from
Hasbro. Which makes, I mean, it's just odd and like, yeah, okay, I get it. There's
They're
some
just
corporations like,
too.
Fuck it, man. This can maybe help obscure the conversation and maybe we can sell some stuff to the right.
But the game was originally invented by a leftist, Elizabeth Maggie, I think, who wanted to highlight the evils of accruing vast sums of wealth at the expense of others. And then her game was stolen by Charles Darrow, who sold it to Parker Brothers.
Damn. Oh, wow.
So she didn't even.
Fitting.
They eventually paid her $500 for her for the game. She
in invented. $1835 dollars or in...
No, like, it was like
in the 20th century.
Yeah.
500. Oh, boy.
But it's like if you play Monopoly, you know that the point of it already is that once someone gets like properties and has that, then it makes it cripplingly difficult for the
over.
Other players, which is what that the game is.
Yeah.
And this one is the point to like if you land on Venezuela, you starve to death.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, didn't they also, they made like Monopoly for millennials that was like with Snapchat and... And I feel like they're trying with like, it's the same with like Oreos. Now Oreo has like sriracha flavored Oreos. Like I think Monopoly is just being like, please buy our game.
Yeah. Although some of those Oreos are very good.
Are they? Yeah. Which ones?
Lemon.
No.
Birthday cake.
Birthday cake is
good. Yeah.
The red velvet is not terrible. It's all right.
I was in The UK, or on the continent, lovely, as we call it.
Well, no, that wouldn't be the continent. Mints. That would be the UK.
That's true. Sorry.
Tis an island.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
On the island.
But I wasn't a castle in Scotland.
Aye.
Which is true. But they have chips, which are the best flavors in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because they have really weird flavors. It would be like roast chicken flavored potato chips.
Those
and
are the best ones.
It tastes like roast
good?
Chicken.
Really?
Sweet Thai so chili. Is it
Sweet
another
Thai chili. Then they had like barbecue pork.
Yeah.
So good. And it tastes like it. And it was unbelievably good flavors, like super specific, weird detail chip flavors.
Frito-Lays, bring the Walker's Crisps flavors to America.
Hell yeah.
Because the closest you can get them is in fucking Canada. And that's where you get the roasted chicken, I think, is one of my favorite
The roasted
ones.
Chicken is unbelievable. That was unanimously our favorite.
Yeah, because it has the proper
umami,
roasting herbs in it, too. It's like, ooh, I think there's thyme and rosemary in this.
Oh, really?
It's classy, so good. Baby. Hmm. And I'm a skeptic.
Are you?
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be gross.
Sure, and then you're like, oh my God,
that
let's
is
skip
exactly
dinner.
What it was like.
Don't they have ketchup-flavored potato chips?
And prawns, cocktail-flavored.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, our homies from Toronto sent us a Canadian chip bag.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Someone send me a chip bag, please.
Yeah. It was ketchup. What else was there in that bag? That care package. All dressed, which was like ketchup and everything. Look, I'm probably fucking this all up.
Wait, but just all the condiments? Just like a mixture?
Hold on. All dressed.
I like that in the UK and in Europe, mayonnaise is a more socially acceptable fry dip.
Yeah, it's good.
All dressed chips in Canada are barbecue, ketchup, sour cream and onion, and salt and vinegar.
That sounds
all
good.
Mixed together?
All mixed together.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
that's a lot. It's just flavor. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who cares? At that
just
point?
Flavor.
But that's how I feel about Monopoly, which is that they're just doing whatever, and this is so misguided and dumb.
Yeah, our writer JM said, why even keep making new niche versions of Monopoly when they've clearly already peaked, and included a picture of Monopoly, the Golden Girls.
What?
Yeah, see? There's a Golden Girls version of Monopoly.
That's the only time I've ever thought about buying Monopoly is when it's completely intersected with a thing that I love, and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe just to collect it, like Star Wars Monopoly,
right.
Some shit like that.
Yeah. It doesn't make it, because it's not like a trivia game, right?
So it's no, just the properties are just
the properties
names.
Just have new names.
Hmm. And maybe the pieces are probably unique.
Yeah.
Right. The play pieces, so it's not just the shoe or the car.
Fun.
Yeah, or the thimble.
Right. Although Golden Girls probably does have a thimble.
Did you have a favorite board game growing up?
I got really good at, Labyrinth, the thing?
No.
It's like a marble that has...
I'm 26.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you made that deep Joe versus the volcano reference. Damn.
I've seen a movie.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I thought you were my people.
No, this is even old for me.
I still am your people.
Who is
also
a child of the 80s.
But this is it's like a board, sort of a...
Is it a video game? I don't know what you're describing.
No, no, no. It's like a wooden box that
Did you grow up in the Great Depression?
Yeah, exactly. So
he's
bring
describing
out an
that
oil cloth.
You get
a
wooden hoop and you push it with another stick down the road, you see? Great fun, great fun.
That was good. And Stratego, I liked.
Yeah, Stratego I liked.
And no, it was a thing that, it moves on two vertices and you control, it's like a maze with a steel ball.
Maybe if I
this?
Saw it, I would
it's
know
It's like
it.
The kind
Anyways.
Of gift you see at toy stores that don't sell actual toys.
What?
Okay.
Like a, they're
the best toy.
Okay.
Anyways, I could go all the way to the end and back
like
3 times.
I feel
like
I asked you for a board game and you gave me this weird thing.
Because
I
have board games yet. Another one, Tiddlywinks. board game, I was really good. I loved Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah.
And a Trivial Pursuit.
I don't know if it counts as a board game, but I guess it does. I love
Basketball.
Scrabble.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm so competitive with Scrabble
That's
that like
game.
My family doesn't like to play with me anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to trick new people into playing with me.
Yeah, my grandmother, rest in peace, who was really loved Scrabble. That's how I got her to start using an iPad because there's words with friends. And I was like, Grandma, I could play with you from across town. She was so fucking good though that when I started creeping up on her, she's like, are you cheating? And I'm like, Grandma, why the fuck would I cheat? Of course I have another app I can use concurrently with this one that would blast you out the water.
Oh, did you?
Oh,
it was like
times.
A...
See,
was,
I need
I had to level the playing field.
I need
she
to
won.
Play in
you
person.
You cheated against your grandma.
Because I need...
America, baby.
Dana, it's been a pleasure
this
having
This has been
you.
A delight. Sorry that I got us a little bit off the rails.
No, Dana!
Dana, jump! Where can people find you?
On Twitter and Instagram, Dana Schwartz with
Great
three Z's
follow.
At the end.
Great follow on
Thank
Twitter.
You.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
of mine or someone else's?
Either way.
Well, my favorite tweet, and I feel bad because I don't know who it's from, so I'm going to look it up right now, is the, should I read it?
Sure.
It's from Brandon is good, Liber Girdle, and it's dentist waiting room, me chanting teeth, teeth, other patients, teeth, teeth, secretary pounding her clipboard, teeth, teeth, teeth. And it's like a that's like a classic like tweet that goes around, but I just sometimes wake up in the middle of the night thinking about how much I like
teeth,
it.
Teeth. That's great.
It's a perfect tweet, and I love it so much.
Just passionate about teeth. I love it. Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you enjoy?
You can find me.
You're so smart.
Well, I'm not really. I'm on a podcast, so people assume I'm literate. You can find me and follow
me. You
have
that app that gives you all your smart takes.
Yep. It's called Smart Takes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And a tweet I like is from Reductress that says, 5 rompers that are difficult but not impossible to masturbate in.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
The challenge factor makes it more worthwhile.
Yeah.
Tweets I've been enjoying. Somebody said, bad news from the thrift store. It's just a picture of a sign that says, sorry, we are no longer accepting copies of Austin Powers Gold Member.
boy.
You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Oh, yeah, that tweet was from Dan Chamberlain, by the way. I forgot to say who it was from, didn't I? Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
We're going to ride out on a track from Godriguez. And the track is called Make This Magic. Instrumental music, instrumental vibe, no words, just feelings, beats, and should be a toe-activating toe tap.
Oh.
Challenge accepted.
Just a head nod. You know, work your neck muscles off this one, but only for about 50 minutes.
All right, that's going to do it for today. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.